It's time for another edition of Dome and Domer, the only podcast for Notre Dame fans by Notre Dame fans. If you're looking for cogent analysis and unbiased opinions backed by careful reporting, you've come to the wrong place. For the next 20 minutes or so, you'll get a fan's perspective on the Fighting Irish without all the normal spin from the so-called professional analysts. It's Dome and Domer. Now, here are your hosts, Mike Brammer and Ed Jordanic.
Hello, Irish fans, and welcome to another edition of Dome and Domer. My name is Mike Brammer. Joining me, Ed Jordanic. And Ed, I guess I'll admit that my entire life, I've never been one to follow advertising. You know, I've almost wanted to never buy something that's advertised just so I can say to myself that I wasn't influenced. But I'm literally about 10 minutes away from ordering Showtime for one reason and one reason only. I did see a clip of that talk that or the speech that Drew Tranquil gave. And it was pretty impressive. I mean, I got to say, I was hooked. I mean, it's...
You've seen the trailer already? Because I think it's on tonight, right?
Yeah, I've seen the trailer. Okay. And I mean, it's, you know, for a two-minute thing, I mean, I was hooked. I mean, it sold me, so I'm ordering it. And, you know, I'm going to have to watch the on-demand and see the first two season or episodes. But
well, it's so funny. You know, like, I didn't think I had Showtime, but... I do. And that's the, and I think, and I know we didn't before, but I think they're running some special kind of X1, it's Comcast, you know, or something like that. But to make a long story short, I've seen the first couple. I thought the first one was excellent. I didn't really think, everybody was raving about last week's with Zaire and you know, outside of that, you know, that kind of drama, I didn't think it was, I didn't think there was too much new insights into the team and the program, but it's good. It should be interesting.
Yeah, I think it looks well done. I'm sure that's a big part of it.
But, oh yeah. You know, what a great recruiting tool, you know?
It is. I mean, there's no doubt about it. So, I mean, I think you got to take advantage of this and it looks like they are, and you couldn't have picked at least a better start to the season going 3-0. You know, I was looking at this game. I think, I don't know if you remember, but at the very beginning of the season, I was saying that this is the game that's going to, you know, we're going to know and what Notre Dame's going to go one way or the other way after this game. I think the problem is, who would have ever thought we would have had the kind of injuries that we've now got and are facing? And it's going to eventually catch up to us. There's no doubt about that. However, I think, and I think that even, you know, it'll be interesting to watch these episodes because I'm wondering if there's something special to this team. And it kind of looks like there is, just based on what we saw Saturday. I mean, it's probably the only time in my entire life I wish I would have left early. If I would have left like with a minute 20 to go, that would have been the most awesome experience.
Oh, here we go. Watching. Right, here we go.
I'm not gonna get upset about the last minute. I mean, but it just leaves that. It's like you kissed your sister.
Oh, come on, come on, come on. No, that would be a tie, Mike. That would be a tie. I have to say, I mean, I was, you know, ND Nation, not the actual ND Nation, but in the generic sense, ND Nation. I mean, I had so many people come up to me on Monday, and the first thing they said was, "What the hell happened the last 2 minutes?" And I just wanted to punch them in the face.
Yeah,
I mean,
they forgot about the first.
I mean, come on, guys. You know, like it just doesn't matter. Okay, yeah, I mean, this is a really good college football team with a difficult to defend. You know, and remember the second touchdown was after an onside. You know, so I just, you know, and to tell you the truth, if you're kind of looking at this constructively, what you should be saying to yourself is every game should have something that doesn't go quite, every win should have something that doesn't go quite right, well, that the coaches can sit on for the next
week.
You're
right. And this is, and that's the best part about, that's right. The best part about that last minute is that the coaches can use that for the rest of the season.
That's right. That's
they can use that for the rest of the season.
Because it's all about finishing games.
It's right. To let these guys know, don't you dare let up because look what happened to us. So now everybody's got that in their mind. So yeah, I'm not going to dwell on it. It's not a big deal. It just stinks that it happened.
Well,
only because we could have walked out of there with probably the most surprising, dominating performance.
Well, I think we did. I think we did.
Yeah, I still think we do. Only because, although, you know, you look at, and it was kind of funny because I ran into Flutie in the airport, and so I go up to him and we're talking. My old buddy. He didn't remember by the way.
Did he turn down a guest appearance on Dome and Domer again?
He didn't even remember that conversation. But anyways, You know, it's kind of funny because we were talking about it and I was asking him, you know, hey, how are you doing with the color? And how's that going? And, you know, how'd you do yesterday? And he brought this up, which I thought was kind of interesting. He's like, yeah, you know, it was just a heck of a game to be involved with, to call. And he's like, the first thing I see on ESPN's tagline at the bottom is Notre Dame survives scare from Georgia. And it's like, what? Who came up with that?
I know.
I mean, it's just unbelievable that they would even put that.
Right.
And it's like, you got to wonder, like, the guy obviously didn't see the game or know anything about it. He just saw the score and saw they scored late and thought, oh, I'll put Notre Dame survives a scare. Now, that was the only time they played it. The funny thing was that they only did that like twice.
Yeah.
But it was enough for everybody to catch it.
Well, we know all the sports cliches, and that game result was definitely one that should be filed under the heading, you know, not nearly as close as the final score indicates, because, you know, Notre Dame basically shut that offense down. And, you know, outside of that 48-yard – now, listen, granted, every game has its little quirks there. It didn't hurt that the guy missed two field goals for Georgia Tech, right? But the point is that everybody went into this thinking that we were going to have to score 35, 40 points to win the game, and that Georgia Tech was going to have, you know, minimum 300 yards rushing. And that just did not happen. So, you know, hats off to Van Gorder, hats off to Bob Elliott, hats off to Brian Kelly. You know how it gets our juices going when we read stuff like, you know, they called Lou Holtz and he sent them three pages of notes and they brought Era into practice. I mean, you know, that just makes me want to run through a wall. I mean, you know, can you imagine Eric Parsegian coming in and telling them about, you know, facing Texas Wishbone in 69 and 70 and 71 or whatever, you know, 70, 71, all, you know, those classic, you know, Wishbone teams when the Wishbone was probably something that you saw, you know, certainly more than once a year. And you could turn on the TV and watch it every weekend if you wanted to. But hey, you know, they did fantastically well. And I thought the, you know, underrated was the game plan they put in place for Kaiser, you know. And we got a couple – listen, you know, anytime you're plus – you know, weren't we plus one in turnovers? Did we turn them over just once, right? And we had two. So, you know, if you lose a turnover battle and you beat a top 20 team, I think that's – you know, that's something that should give them even more confidence.
Yeah, I would agree. Absolutely. And I do think that you know, there's a lot of credit that goes to the coaching staff because I do feel like they obviously figured this one out and had a game plan ready to go and were confident about it. And that's not an easy thing to do facing a Paul Johnson team like that.
Yeah.
I think the guys on the team were the only guys in the stadium that even thought that was possible.
I think you're right.
Saturday.
I think you're right.
I just think that everybody, us, myself included, I just didn't see that coming at all. Didn't even think it was possible.
I mean, if you want to be critical, you know, I mean, as fans, because that's what we do, because we're, you know, the glass is always half empty. But you kind of wonder, like, you know, okay, why did it take 5 years to do this? I mean, we've had close calls with Navy just about every year except the Ireland game. So, right. You know, but again, that doesn't matter.
Well, you know, I was thinking the same exact thing after the game, but you know what I immediately thought of? Jalen Smith, Joe Schmidt, and I mean, we've got guys that we haven't had at those positions. I mean, Jalen Smith has got ridiculous speed.
Well,
absolutely ridiculous.
But I think I think that the thing that we're overlooking here is a lot of credit goes to the coaches. But remember, you've got what, 5-6 guys on that defense now that have played this triple option for 3-4 years in a row, right? So you've got Schmidt, you've got Smith, you've got Day, you've got Farley, you know, you've got, you know, Russell has some experience running against it. You know, Rochelle, obviously his third year facing it. So all of that kind of cumulative kind of turned into a perfect defensive storm. And it's just really gratifying. It was a very, very satisfying win. I think it sets Notre Dame up for kind of a Norman, Oklahoma-type visit to Clemson. You know, I would not be surprised if they play with a lot of confidence in Clemson and win that football game. I would not be surprised at all. Not to overlook this weekend, but let's face it, you know, UMass can't run the ball. And I think it's a team that we could get some pressure on the quarterback on. And I don't think that they can stop C.J. Procise and Will Fuller. And as long as Kaiser doesn't make a ton of errors, you know, I think that's a 2 or 3 touchdown win. So this is setting up nicely. My biggest concern is, you know, that it's a lot of there's to me, the games that I circled on the schedule coming into this year were Pitt and BC. I just think those are programs that give us fits. Both games are on the road, I think, correct? And, well, yeah. You know, technically on the road, right. Because you're in Fenway BC. Park, it should be right. A friendly crowd. But and BC obviously has a very good defense. They've got a lot of troubles on offense now with some injuries. But, you know, they have 6 weeks, 7 weeks to figure it out. So, not that Clemson and USC are to be overlooked, but you know, I mean, our depth has really come up big, and you know, why can't Nicky Baratti play really well for the rest of the year? You know, why can't you know, Jerry Tillery play really well for the rest of the year? Why can't you know, there's more, you know, why can't Josh Adams, you know, take a step this weekend and really get some confidence with a good game? Because he's going to get a lot of carries, I think. You know, I think we're going to see Brandon Wimbush on Saturday. You know, we're going to see more and more guys.
You're just going to have to. I mean, it is a little bit, you know, it's too bad. I don't know how else to cut it. It is going to catch up to us. You can't start the season and then lose your starting tailback, your starting quarterback, your starting nose guard. You're starting safety, and
you're starting. You're basically you're starting nickelback.
Yeah, and expect that, you know, that's not going to impact your team. I mean, it's unfortunate, and it is what it is, and it's a credit to Brian Kelly and the way he's recruited and the guys that he's got.
We didn't even talk about our starting tight end.
Yeah, exactly. Who's now out? Right. Who's now out? I mean it. The problem is you're going to run into that game where all of a sudden, you know, not everything's clicking and it's going to come down to 2 or 3 plays. And, you know, those 2 or 3 plays without 5 guys like that in there, it's going to matter. It just unfortunately is going to matter. And, you know, it's just going to come down to whether or not we get a couple of lucky bounces go our way. You know, you mentioned Pitt and BC, but the truth of the matter is we've got Clemson, we've got USC, and we've got Stanford. And
I know. Obviously those
Stanford's
are all.
No, yeah, right. They're just no – it just goes to show how difficult the schedule is and
oh, and
why.
By the way, Temple is 3-0 and looks real good.
Yeah.
Or relatively good. Yeah.
Yeah, I watched the Penn State-Temple game, and you know what? Temple deserved to win that game.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they outplayed Penn State. They were the better football team. So, yeah, I mean, I just – but I think what it comes down to is what's the makeup of this team? What's the character of this football team? And are they capable of overcoming what's definitely going to be some difficult games coming down the stretch? I mean, I certainly think Clemson is going to be an incredibly telltale sign for us. I think that going into that game now, because of what we just saw against Georgia Tech, the confidence will be there. I think had we lost Georgia Tech, I mean, we could have gotten spanked at Clemson simply because you got a young quarterback trying to overcome everything. And now he's got under his belt a win against a team like Georgia Tech where he had to come up big, and he did. And, you know, that I think will kind of, you know, calm the nerves. Not that it's to say that it's not going to be hostile, because it will be. I mean, there's not a lot more places you can go other than Clemson to find that kind of hostility, but at least the signs are pretty positive right now, and it just, you know, just the basic makeup of this team and what they're all about, it kind of looks like they got the leadership to get them there.
Yeah, well, I think it's really interesting. You know, I think sometimes we underestimate the quarterback position and how important it is for the players, especially the players on offense, but also on defense, to like the guy. Or to feel like he's got the right stuff to get it done. And I'm not saying they didn't have that feeling about Everett Golson, but there was a coolness there in some of the ways that, you know, he would be referred to that you didn't see certainly with Zaire, and that that obviously with Kaiser, they have a lot of confidence in him too. Now, you know, to me, it's interesting. Like, I love the comparisons because Kaiser is just such a different quarterback than Golson or Zaire. You know, first of all, he's just so much physically bigger. than either of the two of those guys. And, you know, I liked, did Flutie make the analogy to Roethlisberger maybe? You know, he's not a running quarterback, but he moves pretty well. And he's a big guy that can knock some people over and get a couple yards. He obviously, you know, he gives them a lot to work with. He seems like he's really a coachable kid, which is so important when you're just, you know, kind of only playing your third game collegiately. So I think we're going to see him, you know, improve. And he doesn't strike me as the kind of guy that could, you know, he's going to make mistakes, but he doesn't strike me as the kind of guy that's going to get real flustered by, you know, complicated defenses and blitzes and schemes. But boy, did we see, you know, we did see a little bit of that, you know, kind of freshman, you know, kind of inclination to try and do too much, you know, hang on to the ball a little too long, you know, throw a ball while you're falling down, you know, trying to make the play in the end zone when it just wasn't there, you know, those kinds of things. So we're going to have to live with some of that stuff. But so far, I think we all should be pretty happy that Notre Dame made him an offer and that he accepted, because you know, it'd be pretty rough turning the reins over to Wimbush, you know, if that was, you know, if we only had one of those guys.
Yeah, and I think the only other positive thing that I saw Saturday, when's the last time you saw a Notre Dame running back break through the line of scrimmage and then go 90 yards and keep the distance between him and the defender? I can't, except for Rocket Ishmael, I can't remember the next guy who actually created separation as he was running down the field.
Yeah, ProSize is amazing. I mean, he's just been, you know, I don't know what more you could ask for. And the fact that he knocked Denard Robinson out of the Notre Dame Stadium record book just makes it all the more sweet. you know, he's just such a talented athlete. And he just seems to have really good football speed, right? You know, so, you know, I don't know what he runs a 40 in, but it just seems to me that, when he gets into a secondary, he, you know, he just jets it up a notch and it's fun to watch. And I thought he ran a little tentatively at times in the early part of the game. But as it wore on, he seemed to be hitting the hole a little bit better. And I think that's also a function of, you know, we still have an offensive line that, you know, isn't perfect, but they wear on you. They really do. I mean, those are some big guys that just beat on you and beat on you. And I'm not surprised they sprung him for a long run in the fourth quarter.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a bit of a rough day for Stanley. You know, I mean, I think he ended up with like four penalties. And, you know, some of that, maybe one or two. One of them, it looked like the Georgia Tech guy jumped off and caused them to jump, but they didn't call it that way. But in any event, you know, that kind of stuff, I think that the offensive line being as mature as they are, I mean, it does make a big difference. And I think that's where in the Clemson game, you know, that kind of maturity does come into play, because guys like that have been there, they've seen it, they've done it, they know how to move people. And, you know, I just think that the moxie of this football team can handle that situation. I don't know that I saw that before the game against Georgia Tech. I mean, there was obviously some of it in Texas. But who knows? You know, I mean, a lot of people are now thinking, you know what, we obviously were looking ahead at Virginia. And I know it's easy to say that in hindsight, but the reality of the matter is they did win. You know, we came out of there with a win. Everybody will forget about how close that game is 5 games from now. And, you know, so it's going to be exciting. I mean, I think there's a lot to look forward to in this season, regardless of what ended up happening. And, you know, they still could lose 2 games and still have a great season, and no one would be disappointed.
And listen, it's wide open. I mean, obviously, you know, as we know from last weekend, you know, Ohio State struggled against Northern Illinois. You know, Mississippi beat up Alabama pretty bad, except for a late comeback. USC is obviously very mortal. I mean, I think the best team in the country right now is Michigan State. But you know, and the only way, you know, so it's right out there for Notre Dame. It's every week is going to be, there's going to be a little bit of drama. I like the fact that, you know, Justin Yoon had a bad day because my prediction is, and I hate making predictions like this, that he's going to miss three or fewer field goals the whole rest of the year, and he's not going to miss any extra points. So, you know, you get those kicker blips that you're so familiar with out of...
I got news for you. I never once missed an extra point in my entire career.
Well, you know...
just so you know.
Well, I know. I mean, I think going 4-for-4 is something to be really proud of, Mike. So, you know, that's terrific.
You know, I was sitting right there. I was right there on that edge of the goalpost where he missed his extra point. Now, don't forget, on the other side of the field, he hit the bar and it bounced in. The very next extra point he kicked, he missed it wide. The kick that he did. Now, the only thing that kind of concerned me was the one that hit the crossbar. It kind of looked like he was kicking away because there was some penetration by the defensive lineman, or the outside guy, I should say, who came fairly close to blocking it. And so, you know, you kind of wonder if that affected him. But then on the second one, there wasn't that kind of pressure, and he just kind of rushed it and pushed it. So he's a freshman. I mean, you hope that he just, like you say, he just gets it out of the system. And because that will be a key. I mean, if you're going to, again, if you're going to get by with these kind of injuries that we've got,
you got to make those kicks, right?
Yeah,
right.
You got to have it elsewhere.
I think there's some timing issues too. I mean, it seems like he gets the ball a little too slowly.
Yeah.
But
overall, the kicking game has been great. I mean, punting, kickoffs,
pretty good. Yeah. Yeah. No, I think the coverage has been. You know, I think I'm a big coverage guy. You know, like. You know, don't let the other team start past the 30 on kickoffs, and keep punt returns 5 yards or less. And I think for the most part, you know, they've done that. And it's not like Newsom is booting a ball out of the back of the end zone every time on those kickoffs. He's had a couple touchbacks, but mostly, you know, there've been a lot of returns, and they've done a good job covering. And I think that's really important.
Yep, absolutely. All right, good deal. We'll leave it there. You've been listening to Dome and Domer, an online conversation about Notre Dame sports from a fan's perspective. For Ed Jordanik, I'm Mike Brammer. Thanks for listening.